Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication of the Society for Music Theory.
This is the final episode in a five-episode mini-series on idiomatic improvisation as a pedagogical technique in the music theory and oral skills classroom. In this episode, Alex Yonker and Peter Schubert ask students to improvise classical phrase continuations that modulate to the dominant, drawing on basic musical instincts about phrase lengths and tonality.
Hi, I'm Alex Yonker, and I'm back for the fifth and final episode in our series on idiomatic improvisation. I'm here with my mentor and colleague, Peter Schubert, and today we'll be talking about an improvisation activity that we call melody continuation. Peter, you've done this activity as part of a little YouTube series called See What an Ass I Am. And I'm wondering, for those listeners who haven't heard this or watched this series before, can you give us the backstory here?
Yeah, well, it's a story about Mozart. Mozart wrote to his father and said, I'm doing what you said. I'm giving lessons to the daughter of this nobleman, but she has no imagination. She can't compose. And she has no ideas. She's a good player, though, and knows a lot of music by heart. So Mozart says, I decided I would give her something to start with, so I wrote out the beginning of a minuet, and then I said to her, see what an ass I am. I've composed this beginning and can't continue it. And she took it, and after a long time, she came up with something. So the idea of continuations is that we know enough intuitively about classical style that if somebody sings a two-bar basic idea, it's very likely that another person can come up with a good following melody, a good next two bars. And so we've been doing this for quite a while, and we give them only two bars. I think Mozart gave her four bars, to be honest, but it's the same idea. So we give them a two-bar basic idea, as we call it, and they come up with the next two bars, and then we can build on this in very surprising ways, right?
Yeah. Our melody continuations offer even more freedom than some of the other activities that we've talked about in this series so far, because they don't necessarily have a strict harmonic framework. There's no baseline that the student is singing against. They're just making up a melody and following their intuitions. And for that reason, it's one of the first improv activities that we teach our students, because they can do this with very, very little musical training of any kind. It's here's a two-measure melodic idea. What do you think should come next? And you can sing anything that you want. And this freedom and flexibility, I think, is a good introduction to the idea of improvisation.
Right. And also, they can then be asked, what are those scale degrees? What do you imagine the harmonies? You could ask people to add a bass to it. That's something possible.
Absolutely. To get us started on this activity, we have another little analysis of a classical phrase to kind of set the model for what we're looking for. Our first student that you'll hear from is Alice.
My name is Alice Renaud. I'm a second year at the Schulich School of Music. I am an early music voice performance major as a soprano. I also do organ on the side. I have no experience improvising. I'm definitely a note reader type of girl.
She'll be analyzing a phrase from Joseph Bellone's First Violin Sonata.
So I'm going to play the beginning of a sonata for violin and harpsichord, and I want you to just find tonic the first time through.
Okay.
So when you hear it, the harpsichord starts, and I really want you to listen for the phrase that when the violin comes in.
Okay.
What key would you say this is in? Yeah, B flat major. Nice. Okay, listen again and see if how much of that violin melody you can remember and sing back.
That's where I'm. I can't. Is that right?
Yeah. Sorry, your first four measures were right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's listen again and see if you can add in these last four measures.
Something like that.
It was close. It was close.
It was really close.
Yeah. And you made up music that was a little bit believable in between the right notes, so that was nice. Do you want to give it one more shot?
Sure.
One more shot.
I had it in my brain and then it went away, but I'll try. No, because it goes back to the da 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 da. Oh no, it doesn't.
Okay, I think maybe let's leave this little middle section here. Let's talk about the first four measures. Can you sing the first four measures again?
Da 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 da. Da 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 da, and then I can hear it in my head. It's da 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 da.
Well, that would do if you had composed that.
No,
you're right. Yeah, I'm wondering just within those first four measures, so we can just scrap the little bit at the end that we're not sure about. Within these first four measures, I'm wondering if you could say something about how they're composed. Like, are they related
to each
other? Kind of
like the same kind of theme, just like, I think it's... Da, 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 da. Is that a third? I don't think it's a step.
Okay, what direction is it?
Down.
Yeah, good. So we have an idea that's presented, and then it's...
And then it's, like, shifted down a little bit.
Yeah, okay, great. I wonder if you can think about the scale degrees for this. Can you think about what the first one is, and then maybe the second one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Wait. Da 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 da. So it is seven.
Yeah, good. So the second one starts on seven.
It feels bigger.
Yeah.
Cause I think it's because of all the like it goes up higher and then it goes back down, so it feels like it's a bigger.
Yeah. Interval. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But it's a seven.
Yeah, it is. The first one starts on one and then the second one starts just a step lower on seven. Yeah, nice.
As you heard from Alice, remembering and singing back eight measures of material is very difficult. And this phrase is pretty difficult. It leaps around a lot in the second half. And I think it's a particularly difficult melody for the students to remember and to sing back. So as you heard here, one of our basic kind of philosophies with improvisation is meeting the student where they're at. And Alice was struggling. And I could hear she was struggling, so I just focused on the first four measures and asked her to work with those and see what we could learn just from those first four measures. And it ended up working out pretty well. Let's listen to Alice improvise now. She's figured out how our model goes, and now she can improvise her own melody continuation.
So I'm going to give you a two-measure basic idea, and the first time I just want you to sing it back.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, 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 bum.
Beautiful.
And then I can continue?
We're going to talk about just as much for a second. Can you get a sense for what meter it's in?
Bum, 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 bum. Okay. That was in three then.
Great. Yes, it was in three. And where do you think the tonic is, just based off of this
da,
little...
Da, 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 da.
Beautiful. Yeah, good. And what scale degree does this little melody start on?
Mm-hmm. 5.
Can you sing the starting pitch?
Da.
That's your tonic.
Da, da, da. 3.
Beautiful, yeah. Can you sing the whole thing with scale degrees?
Ooh, okay. 3, 4. 3, 2, 1. 7, 1.
I like your
first. No, 1, 5, 1. It's ooh. 1, 5, 1.
Yeah.
So 3, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 1.
Beautiful. Okay, now you can leave the scale degrees behind and make up a little two-measure continuation that follows it, whatever you feel like should come next. So sing the first two measures and then add two after.
Does it have to, like, follow any of the structure, or can
nope, it can be whenever you're feeling.
Okay. Bum, 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 ba da 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 ba da.
How do you feel about
like that?
Why didn't you like it?
Because it was too adventurous.
It was too adventurous.
I wanted to add something higher, but it didn't work out.
Okay.
I don't think. It felt too out of place. Like, it didn't fit in the context of what I'm saying.
Would you be able to sing it again?
No.
Okay. So try something else and see if you can remember how it goes.
Ba da 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 da.
Okay.
I'm not going to remember that either.
How much material did you add?
Too much. An extra measure, I think.
You added 4 measures to my two.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. We're going to get there eventually. Okay. But for this first time, just see if you can just add 2 measures.
Okay. Da 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 da.
Okay, nice. Can you remember how it goes?
Yeah. Da 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 da.
Lovely. Can you sing all of that with scale degrees?
3, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 1, 5, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1. That was a different thing.
No, you sang the same thing.
Yeah, you sang the right
named
melody.
The scale degrees.
Oh, I sang the same thing. Okay. 3, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 1, 5, 1, 2, 1, 5, 1.
Can you sing the last two?
5, 1.
How big does that feel?
Like 5, 1.
Just sing without numbers.
Da, oh. 7, 1.
There you go. Okay, great.
For the students who find this very easy and get it very quickly, we can add an extra challenge by asking them to modulate to the dominant or to the relative major. So here's Emily improvising a continuation that modulates to the dominant.
My name is Emily Popolo. I am a rising U2 at McGill, but I'm from the United States, so this will be my 3rd year, and then I have 1 more year after that. I'm a mezzo-soprano, but I'm in B Muse history.
So I'm going to give you a 2-measure basic idea. Mm-hmm. And then the first time through, I just want you to sing it back for me, okay? So it goes like this. Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, good. Okay, now I want you to sing that little bit again. Mm-hmm. And I want you to add 2 measures after it. Mm-hmm. And it can be whatever you feel like.
Okay.
Whatever you feel like should come next.
Da 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 da.
Woo, lovely. Can you sing it again? Just repeat it exactly what you did.
Da 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 da.
Lovely. Very nice. Okay, if we wanted to turn this into an 8-measure phrase, what do you think would maybe come next? So now we have 4 measures.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think would maybe start the second half of this phrase?
Da 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 da.
That was lovely. So you finished the whole eight measure phrase. Mm-hmm. That was really, really good. And you ended on the same tonic that you started with, so mm-hmm. that was lovely. Great job. And you did something completely different in measure 5 and 6, so mm-hmm. it had a little bit of, you know, moving away and then coming back to tonic, and
yes.
that was lovely. Really nicely done. Great job. I wonder if we can make this one modulate to the dominant.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah? Okay. So you can keep your first 4 or maybe even 6 measures the same, mm-hmm. and then we just want to get to the dominant at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What note would you need to modulate to the dominant? Or how can you kind of signify to the listener that, we're in a new key now?
Well, it can always help to have the leading tone. That can always be a really good indicator
yeah.
if you go from, you know, leading tone to, like, the leading tone of the dominant.
Yes, great.
I
think that's exactly what you need.
So, yeah.
Okay, so can you sing your tonic again? That's your starting pitch.
Oh. Da, that's my tonic.
Yep, and where's your dominant?
Da.
Yep. Okay, and where's your leading tone of the dominant?
Da, 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 da.
Yes.
Da.
That's exactly. So that's where you're going to get to okay. at the modulation, yeah? Okay, so start off by singing the same first 4 measures that you sang before, if you can still remember it.
I have an idea.
Okay, and if it's not the exact same, that's fine. And then see if in the last 4, at some point, you can modulate so that you end in the dominant key. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Okay. Da 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 da.
Incredible.
Great.
That was beautiful.
That was terrific.
Really, really nice.
So, to sum up, what do you think, Alex?
I hope the thing that we got across through this whole series is that improvisation is really where the rubber of theory meets the road of ear training. Sometimes we spend just 10 minutes with each student, and in those 10 minutes, we don't just see the theory student or just the ear training student, but we see the whole musician. And I think a lot of times we're surprised and delighted at their abilities, and often a little bit appalled by their weaknesses. And I think it's very informative for us as instructors. Our flexible approach to all of these activities allows us to meet the student where they're at and to work with whatever skills that they have. So we can provide an easier exercise for the weaker students or really push the stronger ones to build on what they already know. The last thing I'll say is that I think the social dimension of these activities with the student interacting with the instructor and the other students in the class makes them some of the most fun and engaging activities that we do in our classes.
Well, that's just great, Alex. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter.
We want to extend our thanks to all of the students who improvised for us in the early stages of this project, including Maria Delaney, Rachel Hoddle, Ben Charo, Nick Miski, Mia Moore, Lavinia Lee, Alice Renault, Emily Popolo, Jasper Ward, Hubert Pare, and Grant Kane. Not only did their performances help us develop our ideas, but we also had a lot of fun in the process. Thanks to Jack Kelly for his help with the recording setup, and thanks to the staff at the Marvin Duchaux Music Library at the Schulich School of Music for their assistance in acquiring the recording equipment. Thanks also to our colleagues Lisa Lorenzino, Isabel Cossette, and Justin Mariner for their feedback and sharing ideas on improvisation and pedagogy. To Nick Miski, thanks for suggesting the title Idiomatic Improvisation. And finally, a big thanks to the production team at SMT Pod, who made the publication process smooth and made helpful suggestions throughout to make this work the best it could be. Our team lead, Caitlin Martinkus, our peer reviewers, Phil Duker and Joe Strauss, and our production leads, Amy Hatch and Katrina Rausch. Thanks.
Visit our website, smt-pod.org, for supplemental materials related to this episode and to learn how to submit an episode proposal. And join in the conversation by tweeting us your questions and comments at @SMT_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Maria Tartaglia, with closing music by Ika Zhang. We hope you'll join us again for season 5. Thanks for listening.